Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your day. The Locked On Podcast Network, the Locked On NBA Podcast Network, is conducting one of the most realistic and detailed mock draft simulations I have come across when it comes to the NBA draft, the 2021 Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. All of the different Locked On Podcast hosts for their respective teams represented their teams in a real simulation that was supposed to be meant to be as close to real life scenarios as possible when it came to the actual NBA draft. Day 1 of this week covered picks 1 through 5, day 2 picks 6 through 12, and yesterday was picks 13 through 18, and multiple Grizzlies picks were covered. That's right. Multiple Grizzlies picks. In this episode, in the first segment, I'm going to discuss the details of the moves that I made representing the Grizzlies in the 2021 Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. In segment 2, I'm going to discuss why the specifics may not be the same, but the general idea behind the moves that I made, I feel are intelligent avenues for a creative front office like the Grizzlies to follow. And in the third segment, we're going to discuss a couple of fun scenarios I've thrown out on Twitter over the past few days and the reactions that it got. It certainly seems that Memphis has a good idea of what it's looking for, and one that certainly makes sense when it comes to this Grizzlies roster in the NBA draft. Of course, we're a week away from the 2021 NBA draft. You can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can follow me over at Grizzly Bear Blues, where I've covered the Grizzlies for 3 years. I'm a credentialed media member with the Grizzlies. I also have hosted the Locked On Grizzlies podcast now for a year and a half. This is the one place, your Grizzlies every day, that you can get the latest news, insight, perspectives, and honest truth when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies. We obviously also want to remind you that the actual NBA Locked On NBA Draft show will be going on with NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales. We'll all be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get your local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern. So let's get right to it. If you listened to the show yesterday, hope you certainly enjoyed all the detailed effort that went into it to create as realistic of a simulation as possible. But now here are the details when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies going into the draft, this Ultimate Mock Draft, had the 17th pick. However, the first pick for the Grizzlies in the 2021 Ultimate NBA Mock Draft was at pick 14. The Memphis Grizzlies, represented by myself, traded Kyle Anderson and the 2022 Utah first-round pick, traded those two assets to the Golden State Warriors for pick 14. And with pick 14, the Memphis Grizzlies selected James Bouknight, the guard from UConn. Now, obviously, having to give up Kyle Anderson was not something that was fun to do. With how well he's done in Memphis, how much he means to this team, and obviously how well he played last year. But in the second segment, I'll go into a bit more detail. I do think that there are some legitimate questions to ask about whether or not agreeing to a long-term extension with Kyle makes sense for the Grizzlies. I felt that Kyle likely made more sense on a team like the Warriors, who he could play, he would mean more to their ability to be a true contender than for a team like Memphis, who is trying to work their way up to being a contender. And so with him only having 1 year on his contract, him likely being more valuable to the Warriors than he is the Grizzlies, and the fact that I was able to add a pick that's likely going to be in the 20s in the 2022 draft, I was able to add that to Kyle and turn it into the 14th pick in one of the deeper drafts in recent memory in 2021. It was too good of a deal to pass up, especially with the value that James Bouknight presented being at that 14th pick. So again, the Grizzlies traded Kyle Anderson as well as their 2022 Utah first-round pick, traded those assets to Golden State for the 14th pick, and selected James Bouknight out of UConn. The other great thing about it, though, is, of course, I was able to keep the 17th pick. And with the 17th pick in the 2021 Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, I selected Keon Johnson, shooting guard out of the University of Tennessee. Now, I certainly can understand that with already having picked James Bouknight, it may seem a little redundant, especially with how the Grizzlies roster is constructed, to pick Keon Johnson. But I felt with the 17th pick, Keon Johnson was the best player on the board. Other names like Trey Murphy, Alperen Şengün, Jalen Johnson, and Jaden Springer, all those names were still on there. I do think that Keon has the highest ceiling, though, of any of those players. And so from a pure value standpoint and best player available standpoint, for me, it made sense to go with Keon Johnson. So the Grizzlies entered the ultimate mock draft with the 17th pick, hoping that they could get a valuable selection. They were able to come away with James Bouknight and Keon Johnson. And while it did cost them Kyle Anderson and a future first-round pick that's likely going to be in the late 20s, I feel from a value perspective, with the talents they selected, as well as the Grizzlies roster overall being significantly more talented moving forward than it was when it came into this draft, I certainly felt the moves made sense to make, and I could not be more ecstatic to come out of this first round with both James Bouknight and Keon Johnson. But of course, that's my own opinion of the moves that I made. However, there were a few others. There were many opinions that the Ultimate Mock Draft was able to consult when it came to each of the picks being made in the first round. Instant reaction to these picks. Rafael Barlow, founder of NBA Draft Junkies, host of Locked On NBA Draft, one of the hosts over at the Locked On NBA Draft podcast, and founder at NBADraftJunkies.com. This is what he had to say about the moves Memphis made in the Ultimate Mock Draft.
Well, remember when Vince Carter won the dunk contest in 2000 and he gave the gesture, it's over, it's over? That's how I feel about this draft. The Memphis Grizzlies have won this draft. When is the last time Memphis missed on a pick? I mean, you got Ja Morant, you got Jaren Jackson. You got Desmond Bane last year. They've been able to get Bouknight, and now they have a high upside guy in Keon Johnson who they don't need to play this year. They can strictly focus on development. I mean, he's raw. I think he has a really high upside, so I love what the Grizzlies have done. And they've quietly built a strong team, and they've been able to maximize their roster. I mean, their roster on paper hasn't been sexy. I mean, you think of the Pelicans, who always look better on paper, but Memphis has overachieved, and now they've added Bouknight and Keon Johnson. They've won this draft, and we're just halfway through, in my opinion.
When it comes to the details of the Kyle Anderson and the 22 Utah pick for James Bouknight, the details will obviously come together after the draft to make it work for both teams. But obviously, from a talent perspective, Rafael, in my opinion, was right. It was great value picks for Memphis and for their future. But I also certainly can understand that with having already drafted Bouknight, the pick of Keon Johnson, again, may seem a bit redundant, may seem like there were better picks that made sense on the draft board. And you certainly can make a case that's true. However, I do feel that with already having selected Bouknight, the Grizzlies were simply in a position to make the value selection of the best player available. In my opinion, that was Keon Johnson. Another opinion that also seems to share a similar take on the selection of Keon Johnson was Memphis's own Jason Smith from the Jason and John show on 92.9 ESPN. Here's what Jason Smith thinks of the Keon Johnson selection for the Grizzlies.
Yes, the Grizzlies need to add perimeter shooting. They were 20th in the league in three-point shooting percentage last season and just 24th in three-point makes per game. So drafting 6'5" Tennessee guard Keon Johnson, who shot the ball at just a 27% clip from three in his only year in college last year, doesn't immediately address one of Memphis' biggest needs. That's true, but the fact is you don't pass up a prospect at number 17 with Johnson's freakish athleticism and considerable upside. And frankly, I'm stunned he fell this far in the draft. Most mock drafts have the 19-year-old Johnson going somewhere in the mid to late lottery. Many had him as a top 10 pick, having registered a record-setting vertical leap of 48 inches, yes, 48 inches at the NBA Combine. Imagine Johnson finishing off monster alley-oop dunks from Ja Morant all over SportsCenter while using his athleticism, his length, and lateral quickness to be a pest on the defensive end versus opposing backcourts and smaller wings. The great thing for the Grizzlies is that they've got time on their side. Memphis isn't ready right now to be a top four seed in the West, giving it time to try to develop Johnson, particularly that outside shot, while at the same time trying to climb the ladder in the Western Conference. I love the value the Grizzlies are getting here at number 17. Again, Johnson's offensive numbers at Tennessee don't wow you. 11.3 points per game, 45% shooting overall, 13 of 48 from three on the season. But Memphis has a fairly established offensive pecking order already with Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Jonas Valanciunas, and Jaren Jackson, obviously. So there won't be any pressure on Johnson to come in and fill a significant scoring role right off the bat. That's exactly the kind of situation he needs while he attempts to develop his shot and playmaking skills. I could easily see Johnson as part of some three-guard lineups with Morant and Brooks. Defensively, he and Brooks could help offset Morant's defensive limitations, and it's on that end of the floor where Johnson can help you immediately. I wasn't much of a Johnson fan during his time at Tennessee, I'll be honest, but I love the fit and value here for a Grizzlies team that's on the way up and would be adding an athletic player who fits their style. If Johnson can develop a consistent three-point shot, watch out. The Grizzlies will have an absolute steal on their hands.
So as can be seen, from a value and potential standpoint, the moves that the Grizzlies made in order to have the ability to select James Bouknight and Keon Johnson certainly made sense from where they are on their timeline as what they needed and in terms of what they needed to do to add talent for their future core in order to put themselves in a position to be a sustainable winner. And I'll certainly admit, there could have been a variety of different picks at that 17th pick that made sense. If it wasn't Keon Johnson, who I, again, made the pick based off the fact that I thought he had the highest ceiling of anybody remaining on the board, you could have easily seen an Alperen Şengün, a Trey Murphy, a few others, a Jaden Springer, other Jalen Johnson, a few other names certainly could have been the selection for the Grizzlies other than Keon Johnson. But the point remains that the Grizzlies did an exceptional job of using present value assets to be able to put themselves in a position in a very strong draft to gain multiple assets for their future that improve the overall talent and potential of this roster moving forward. Now, do I know if the Grizzlies are going to be this creative come a week from now during the actual draft? I don't know. Could they be? They certainly have shown the ability to be. But what I want to do is, besides the specifics of this simulation, I really want to hit on why I think this level of creativity certainly makes sense for Memphis to explore in terms of taking veteran pieces that are on expiring contracts and looking to see how they can use present value to gain future value. Coming up, I'm going to talk about how the Grizzlies could really be aggressive with that mindset when it comes to putting themselves in a better position in the 2021 NBA draft. Obviously, adding multiple parts to the Grizzlies' future to make their roster better and to perform better was a great development from this Ultimate Mock Draft. Well, the same thing can be said about your car, right? You know, at times you're going to have to replace parts or upgrade parts to make your car's performance better. And if you need to do that, the only place to really make sense for you to do that is rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is great because within a few clicks of the button, you'll likely be able to find what you need. And the great thing is, it's because of the fact that regardless of the make and model of the car that you have or the part that you're looking for, rockauto.com is likely to have it. Whether you're someone who does your own repairs, you need others to do your repairs, or you do repairs for others for a living, rockauto.com is going to likely not only have what you need, but have it at a economic price, a cost-friendly price. This is a family-owned business. They've been in business for over 20 years. They know car parts typically do fall out of budget, so they want to try to make things as economically friendly as possible. When you visit rockauto.com, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. So from this simulation, the Grizzlies were able to take Kyle Anderson and the 2022 Utah pick that they own and turn it into two very, very significant pieces for their future in James Bouknight and Keon Johnson. But let's take the specifics out of it. That simulation was fun. It was enjoyable. It was, in general, a very successful idea of just how creative this Grizzlies front office can be. But while the specifics may change, I do think that the general idea of potentially taking an expiring contract with the veteran that's currently on the Grizzlies roster and using them as an asset to either improve what the Grizzlies already have in terms of the 17th pick, or maybe even gain an extra asset to go along with the 17th pick, I think that that is a realistic and intelligent approach, an avenue for this Grizzlies front office to take to make the most of using this deep draft to add value to the Grizzlies roster moving forward. They did it last year, right? They went into the 2020 draft with the 40th pick and actually wound up, through being a part of a trade, as a place that could take on money to facilitate a trade between two other teams. Doing that, as well as trading future picks, the Grizzlies were able to turn the 40th pick in the 2020 draft into the 30th and 35th pick, which landed them Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman. What I did in this mock simulation is the same difference. It's taking current assets and getting creative with them and creating an extra pick that's going to allow for you to add pieces for your future. But when we look at the potential of using a current veteran on the Grizzlies roster that's on an expiring contract as a trade asset, the theory of doing it in a vacuum, doing it, makes a lot of sense. In reality, it becomes a bit more complex. Now, there's obviously four veterans who stand out. Grayson Allen, yeah, he's not a veteran, but still, he's on an expiring contract, basically. Grayson Allen, though he would be in a restricted free agent after this upcoming year. Grayson Allen, Tyus Jones, Kyle Anderson, and Jonas Valanciunas. You could throw in Justice Winslow if the Grizzlies were going to pick up his option, but I set Winslow and Tyus Jones to the side. Their values are at low points. The Grizzlies do certainly need a secondary ball handler in Tyus Jones, so I set Tyus Jones to the side in the understanding of this idea of using a veteran piece as a trade asset to make more of this upcoming draft. That leaves Grayson Allen, Kyle Anderson, and Jonas Valanciunas. Now, at the end of the day, the best thing the Grizzlies probably could do, the most sensible approach the Grizzlies probably could make in moving up in the draft to get an asset that they're looking to get, is either attaching Grayson Allen to the 17th pick and moving up a few spots to get a guy that they want, or sending Grayson Allen off in a trade elsewhere, getting assets and combining those assets with the 17th pick, or to replenish other assets they use to get in a trade up. In some way, shape, or form, using Grayson Allen as the veteran on an expiring contract to make the most out of this draft, at the end of the day, that probably makes the most sense. But in talks that I've had with teams that are drafting ahead of the Grizzlies, Grayson Allen is not a person, is not an asset that really wants to make him move off their pick. Just as several of the prospects that are likely going to go in the lottery make perfect sense for the Grizzlies to add to their roster, it also makes perfect sense for the teams that are picking there to add those players to the roster. You're going to have to create the motivation for those teams to move back instead of them looking to move back in a lot of scenarios in this draft. Adding Grayson Allen to 17 does not, result in a lot of interest for teams maybe in the 10 or later range to move up in the draft. Could you possibly see Washington do it? Sure. But that doesn't really move the Grizzlies up to get a guy that they probably truly want. If they're looking to move up to get a guy that they really, really want for their future, or if they're looking to potentially add a second first round or top 30 or 35 selection in this draft, it likely is going to come from including Kyle Anderson or Jonas Valanciunas in a trade. But the thing about it is this, is that when it comes to Kyle Anderson and Jonas Valanciunas, it's hard to see the Grizzlies wanting to extend both those players. To make a long story short, based off how they played last year, but based off where the Grizzlies need to go with their roster moving forward, after both of their contracts expire this upcoming year, in which they're making about $23 million combined, I could see combined that both Jonas and Kyle combined are going to cost whoever signs them, it's going to be a combined $30 million. On their contracts moving forward, whether it's on opposite teams or the same team, whatever it may be. I think that with pay raises they're going to be looking to get, it's going to cost the Grizzlies nearly $30 million a year to extend both Jonas and Kyle Anderson. So you're likely going to need to choose one or the other if you're going to extend either. But of course, the big question to answer to figure out which one you want to extend between Jonas and Kyle is, do you need a 5 in Jonas or do you need a 4 in Kyle to complement Jaren Jackson Jr.? And the thing about it is you don't know that as of yet because you still need to gain some certainty on Jaren Jackson Jr. That's getting off into another conversation, but it's relevant to this point. Whatever the Grizzlies feel, and personally I feel that they likely would prioritize looking to keep Jonas over Kyle, but at the end of the day, I do think that if the Grizzlies do feel that it doesn't make sense to extend both Jonas or Kyle, it would make sense, for as creative as this front office has shown it can be with how much it values making the right moves at the right time. I certainly feel using Kyle or Jonas in a trade package to make the most of gaining extra value of this draft, that's a more sensible move than the Grizzlies perhaps waiting till the trade deadline. In a vacuum, I think that makes sense. Now, in reality, I can understand that the Grizzlies want to hold on to both of them. I certainly get that. That's why I still think searching out a move in which they move up slightly, maybe a few picks with Grayson and the 17th pick being involved, I think that probably makes the most sense for Memphis. But if the Grizzlies really want to get aggressive and either moving up a significant amount or gaining an extra pick in this first round, I think that the key to doing that is either Kyle or Jonas. And of course, that's the Grizzlies making a choice between the two of which one they feel makes the most sense to potentially keep in Memphis beyond next year. Are the Grizzlies ready to make that decision? I'm not sure. Should the Grizzlies be ready to make that decision? I feel that there certainly is sense to want to make that decision so that they could use the one that they don't want to keep as a trade asset. But at the end of the day, no matter what we think makes the most sense, no matter what things appear to be, no matter what appears to be beneficial in a vacuum, when it comes to reality, you've got to consider the rest of your roster. You've got to consider the culture that's here. You've got to consider a young team that's doing so well with the leadership that Jonas and Kyle are providing. Again, I don't think it makes the best economic sense for the Grizzlies to extend both Kyle and Jonas. I talked about this in a similar fashion when I did Kyle and Jonas's season-ending review. I don't think that it makes the most sense for the Grizzlies to extend both Kyle and Jonas. I can certainly see the logic in extending one of them. But what's changed between that last time I talked about this scenario and this time is that it certainly seems that it's Kyle and Jonas who are going to move the needle enough for Memphis if either Kyle or Jonas are used as a trades asset. Those two players are what's going to move the needle or what's going to allow for Memphis to really make the move that they want to make to get the most value out of this draft instead of using the Utah first or Grayson or something along those lines. Again, it probably is going to make the most sense to either use the Utah first next year or Grayson as the asset to add to 17 if the Grizzlies want to trade up. But if the Grizzlies really, really feel strongly about a player that they want to add, if the Grizzlies were willing to talk Jonas and Kyle, I think that utilizing one of those two veteran talents on an expiring contract, that really could make a lot of sense to talk with a team like Charlotte, perhaps Golden State, perhaps Indiana, or others. The Grizzlies could really make a difference, including either Kyle or Jonas, in an opportunity when it comes to being aggressive on draft night. I don't think it's likely. As a matter of fact, I'll probably put it at less than 10% that either one of those two are involved in a trade. But just from talks that I've had with others and just looking around, you know, the league, as far as the interest that could possibly be there in the Grizzlies' current roster when it comes to trade on draft night, it's Jonas and it's Kyle that have gotten much more interest than Grayson, and I think that's what the Grizzlies are going to have to do in order to really get aggressive to either get that second first-round pick that they may truly desire in this draft or potentially move up significantly to get a player they truly want in the draft. But beyond those trade scenarios and the idea of using a veteran piece on an expiring contract, there are different trade scenarios that are out there. But how do the different scenarios of trading back, trading up, or staying at 17 stack up against each other when you consider what targets make sense for Memphis to go after. Coming up, I put out some ideas on Twitter a few days ago about what different scenarios make sense for Memphis. The feedback that I got was eye-opening when it came to the feelings that Memphis fans have about how the Grizzlies should approach this draft. We'll discuss that in just a second. Despite the logic in exploring certain avenues when it comes to potential trades during the draft for the Memphis Grizzlies, the odds are likely low that they're going to put a veteran to the ilk of Kyle Anderson or Jonas Valanciunas in a trade to acquire a better pick or another pick in this draft. But speaking of odds, if your desire when it comes to a sports fan is wagering and betting on sports, I've got the one place that has you covered, and that's BetOnline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Head to the website or use your mobile device and put in the promo code LOCKEDON to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus when it comes to your first deposit. Again, head to BetOnline right now, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the new sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y Odyssey. So over the past few days, basically the past week or so, I've thrown out some fun polls that have been based off discussion around Grizzlies Twitter as to who makes the most sense for the Grizzlies. What is the best route to value when it comes to the Grizzlies' first round pick in this 2021 draft? Well, I looked at it from a couple of different scenarios. In the first scenario, I threw out a few names if the Grizzlies stayed at 17 that could make the most sense when it came to the direction the Grizzlies want to go with their pick. The names that I threw out were Chris Duarte, who obviously could be the prospect that best fits the way the Grizzlies have drafted over the past few years, and also could arguably be the safest pick in this draft. Trey Murphy, who ideally probably is one of the top three or four players that are realistic at 17 that fit exactly what the Grizzlies need from a roster standpoint, from a production two-way standpoint, from an upside standpoint, all those different things. Josh Christopher obviously has ties to the organization. Ultimate upside play when it comes to the 20s in this draft where he is on big boards. He probably has the most upside of any player that I put in this specific poll. And then Corey Kispert. The reason I put Corey Kispert in this trade or in this scenario is because he could be someone that falls. I don't think he will. I don't think he's going to be available at 17, but he could be a natural candidate to fall if we see a heavy emphasis on upside in the actual lottery come next Thursday night. Well, the overwhelming favorite in that scenario of Chris Duarte, Trey Murphy, Josh Christopher, and Corey Kispert, despite all four of those candidates being buzzworthy for some reason or another, was Corey Kispert. So I took it a step further. I put the idea of drafting Corey Kispert at 17 as one of three options in my next poll. The first option was trading the 17th pick plus the Utah first in 2022 plus one of Brandon Clark, DeAnthony Melton, or the future Golden State first in order to move up to the back half of the top 10 to draft Moses Moody. The second option was to stay at 17 and be able to pick Corey Kispert. And then the third option was to trade back with Houston and be able to have the opportunity to draft Josh Christopher and Trey Murphy. The overwhelming favorite in that scenario was trading back to get Josh Christopher and Trey Murphy. And from a value standpoint, I definitely agree with both choices. And what this lets me know is this, is that it's not just about just upside, just skill set, just roster, just the position or what these players do well. It's a combination of all three of these things. In each scenario of players who might be available at 17 or in trade-up, stay-put, or trade-back options, Grizzlies fans quickly identified and were overwhelmingly supported the idea of going with what the most valuable option is. Now, that second scenario, I don't think is going to be that likely anymore because Trey Murphy, I do not think, is going to make it to 23. As a matter of fact, the way that his stock is trending, you're getting to the point of being fine with him being the pick at 17. But that's the key takeaway from the discussions and interactions. Grizzlies fans just want value. They want value in this pick. They want to clearly feel that not only, you know, we should be confident no matter what because of how well this front office is drafted, but with all the information that is out there, I know with how big of a potential the depth in this draft has, Grizzlies fans want to feel like it's a home run. They want to feel like the pick that is made is a player that not only fits a need on the roster, but has clear upside to become a significant part of the future. And that's what this team that's what these fans sorely want. We become such a fan of the draft because it's been so rare. This is the first time since this team has been in Memphis that they really have had consecutive years of success to where they actually are viewed as being one of the better teams when it comes to drafting instead of one of the worst like they were during the grit and grind era beforehand, afterwards under Chris Wallace. That's the reason why Grizzlies fans love this time of year, is because of the fact that it's a new opportunity for us to be able to enjoy a significant night on the NBA calendar because we feel confident in this front office they're going to get it right with the pick that they make. And so that's the idea that comes into play. And with that idea in place, a week out from the draft, here is what I feel makes the most sense. Three layers of value, depending on how the draft board falls, that I feel make the most sense for the Grizzlies. The first layer is a trade-up scenario. It's not to trade up into the top 10, because I just think that the price to do that is not going to be worth it when we're talking about prospects. But it's likely, in my opinion, that one of Moses Moody, Corey Kispert, and Franz Wagner could fall to 13. And if any of them fall to 13, especially if Moses Moody falls past 10, but if any of those players fall to 13, if I'm the Grizzlies, I start making calls. Because Indiana has shown a desire to trade back. Golden State could be convinced to do the same. I think Washington could be convinced to do the same. If any of Moses Moody, Corey Kispert, or Franz Wagner fall to 13, I'm on the phone doing what I can if I'm Memphis to make the trade to get up to get them, because I don't think the price is going to be outrageous to do that, because those three players are three of my four players who I think make the most sense for Memphis to go after. If none of those players make it to that point, and there's just not an obvious fit, like maybe a James Bouknight that you want to trade up to get, the next best thing, in my opinion, for the Grizzlies to do is to simply take Trey Murphy or Jaden Springer at number 17. And the reason why I say it makes sense to take those players is because they're players that meet the preferences that the Grizzlies have of being two-way impact players with good offensive upside. But also, it's because at that point in the draft, both you have a great combination of skill set need as well as value because of the upside that both of those players offer. So if Wagner or Moody or Kispert just don't make sense to trade up for, be fine being able to pick Springer or Murphy. The third layer of value, I feel, is if it doesn't make sense to pick any of those players. Maybe they all could be gone by 17. And Chris Duarte is there, go ahead and take him. There's no issue at all with taking Chris Duarte if plenty of the clear upside swings that make sense for the Grizzlies are off the board at 17. Go with what you know with Chris Duarte. But if you do that, be aggressive in trying to get back in the first round to get an upside swing to complement the sure thing that you feel you have in Duarte. Going after maybe a Josh Christopher or a BJ Boston or a Zaire Williams if he were to fall, Jalen Johnson if he were to fall. If you're going to take a player that fits the mold that you have consistently gone after late in drafts, so taking an older player but with a very, very easy to translate to the NBA type game, that you're confident you can make the most of, take that player but also take advantage of what this draft offers to be aggressive to get back in the draft and get a second pick to do an upside swing. Those are my layers. If one of Moody, Wagner, or Kispert fall, do what you can to trade up to get them. If none of that works out, be certainly fine taking Jaden Springer or Trey Murphy at 17. If that doesn't work out on that same level, if there's just a clear, you know, former lottery talent, like maybe a Jalen Johnson or a Keon Johnson, be fine taking them as well. But if you take Chris Duarte, complement it with an upside swing by getting back into the draft later on, kind of what they did last year in the 2020 draft. At the end of the day, three truths stay in place. No matter what direction the Grizzlies go, of all the options that I mentioned, each and every one of them are a positive outcome. The Grizzlies gain a significant talent for the present and future to continue to add to their future core. The other thing is that we know from their track record, this team can be trusted. We can trust this team to be able to make the right decision. And the third thing is because of how aggressive they are, it feels like the Grizzlies are in some way, shape, or form, in a way that they're satisfied with, they're going to play into the upside depth of this draft. I really think that they are when it comes to their decision. Now, they may be focusing on talents that have significant upside in the areas that the Grizzlies normally prefer. But at the very least, they're going to make an effort to play into the upside depth in this draft, to really be able to take a player they feel could be one of the best rotation players to support Ja and Jaren on this roster moving forward. It's going to be exciting to see. And we're going to be even more excited to talk with some of the folks that we've got coming up to cover the Grizzlies and focus on what makes sense for them in the draft. On tomorrow's episode, Joe Mullinax of Grizzly Bear Blues will be with us discussing all things NBA draft, his favorite prospects, his most desired scenarios when it comes to the draft, all that on tomorrow's episode of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And then on Monday, Chip Williams, possibly the best draft mind when it comes to basketball in the Memphis area, he will be joining us. We always love talking with Chip around draft time. He'll be joining us to discuss all things NBA draft as well. This is the place that's going to have you covered on every single day when it comes to this Grizzlies team and what they potentially could do in this draft. And then after the draft, we turn right around and focus on free agency, extensions, and trades. So much to enjoy, so much coming up. Make sure you check out this podcast, you check out tomorrow's show with Joe Mullinax, and check out the Ultimate Mock Draft, a great opportunity for you to be able to experience a real-life scenario when it comes to the Grizzlies and the NBA Draft. My name is Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. You can find the podcast at Locked On Grizz. It's been a pleasure being with you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.